Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to email us and let us know what God is currently doing in your life. Or if you'd like to support the ministry financially, you can do so here on our website. For now, we hope you enjoy this message. Thanks for tuning in today.
Amen. We're so grateful that we have the means to do the things that are necessary in the days that we're living in, to be able to give you the Word of God and give those that are at home, have not yet returned to church, and but we're grateful that you've joined us on live, online. I mean, faith, the Bible says, is the victory that overcomes the world. And when we come to church like this and open our hearts to God, God has a specific word for us so that we're able to be more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Open, if you would, your Bibles to Isaiah, the 28th chapter. Isaiah, the 20th, some of you don't know, Isaiah was a prophet. And he had things to say in his day regarding the spiritual environment of his day, how things were when in regards to that, regards to those that he was personally responsible over, and that was the children of Israel, of course, God's people in the wilderness. Amen. And before we read this, you know all that's going on in the world today, all the challenges, all the instability, all of the, you know, the fearful things that are going on. Let me first begin to share with you that the root of every kind of evil in this world originates with a rebellious archangel who, for some goofy reason, come to believe that he actually could overthrow his own creator, God. And we're talking about Lucifer, who now is called the old dragon, the serpent. Amen. And we see the fruit or the evidence of his kingdom, which is called the kingdom of darkness. Everybody say amen to that. And it's a darkness that covers every nation in the world, even more to those nations that have never opened up their hearts to the only true and living God, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Jesus made a statement that he was either completely off his rocker or he was who he said he was. He said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He is the Savior of the world. He is the I am of the great I am. Can I have an amen? Amen. He was God incarnate in flesh. He had a mission on his, he had a mission from his Father, and that was to take away the sins of the world, which he did. But the good news is he rose from the dead to impart to anyone who recognizes their need for him and opens their hearts to him. And you're here tonight. I believe most of you, 99% of you, have done that. You've opened your heart, first of all, to recognize that you need a Savior and that he is the Savior, and you welcomed him into your life. Amen. Amen. Give God a good shout for that. Isn't that wonderful to know whose kingdom that you belong to? Amen. So God has always had a plan to save the world. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he so loved the world, listen, and still loves the world, that he paid the price for their sins by giving up his only begotten Son. Praise the Lord. Now, God gave humanity a will. A will, that's the most powerful force that you have in your life. You that are listening online, you have a will. You have a will to, first of all, recognize your need for him, a will to love him, to serve him, and to follow him all the days of your life. You have a will to do that or not to do it. We know that those who choose not to love God and to follow him, they have charted their courses towards destruction, because that's what we are. The Bible says that, I'm just going to read here. Psalms 107:20, and it says this, thank you, Lord, I'll find it. That's 106. Psalms 107:20. The Bible says that's God, sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. We're really good at destruction, aren't we? We're really good at tearing down our lives, destroying our lives, because that's the human nature without God. But once you get Christ in your life, he truly is he's the builder of men. He's the builder of mankind, building up his nature on the inside of them so that they can represent him in the earth. So to not serve God is to suffer the consequences of our own pride, our own rebellion, and our own will to want to do life on our own, which we can't. Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. You've heard my translation of that. The best thing you can do without a Christ-centered life is fail. And if you can recognize that young enough in life and you surrender your life to God, even in the midst of all the things that are going on, you surrender your life to God, He will fulfill His plans and purposes in your life. Listen, and bless you along the way. Can I have an amen? Bless you along the way, and I'm so grateful for that. So I want to read two verses of Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12. And here's it is. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. And to whom he said, watch this is the rest. We've been talking about the rest of God. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. And it ends with, yet they would not hear. Meaning God had a word for Israel, giving them an inspired, life-giving word so that they could be refreshed in Him. How many agree that the church needs a refreshing today? I've said this, there needs to be a spiritual awakening, of course, in America. And of course, that's going to begin in us. So at this moment in history, Israel's history, they were spiritually bankrupt and they needed a divine visitation from Almighty God. Amen. And how many agree that America is in great need of a spiritual awakening? It really does. But that awakening, listen, that isn't found in a politician, but within the heart of a repentant Christian. That's where it's found. We living a very tender and a very submissive life to God. No matter who's in control of our nation, we know who's in control of us. It's God Almighty. Amen. And that is the rest wherewith you may find, that may you discover the refreshing of God. Amen. But he went on to say, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to the people. Now, I want to read this out of the Amplified. Now, verse 9 says this, to whom will he teach knowledge? Now, this is the people of Israel speaking at this moment, okay? You'll catch this. To whom will teach his people knowledge? Asked the drunkards. So Israel had come to a place where they were so lost from God. They found their identity in the pleasure of this world, and one of them was drinking, okay? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those who are babies, just weaned from the milk and taken from the breasts? Is that what he thinks we are? Now God speaks. For it is his prophets repeating they're still speaking. For it is his prophets repeating over and over, watch this, precept, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, rule upon rule, rule upon rule, here a little, there a little, and we are there a little, there a little, and we're sick and tired of all the repetition. How many were raised that the only thing you really knew about God was the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thine. And that it's powerful. It came from the Word of God. It's powerful. It's full of life. But not if it's not without the spiritual discernment. If you're not alive on the inside, everything that is written in the Word of God is lifeless to you. It can't come alive until you come alive on the inside. If you agree, say amen to that. So then he says, we're just tired of all of this repetition. Well, it wasn't God's plan. God wanted to make himself real to them, but they refused. So watch this, verse 11. No, but the Lord will teach the rebels in a more humiliating way by men with stammering, that word means foreign lips, and another tongue, or spiritual language. Will he speak to this people, says Isaiah, and teach them his lessons? To these complaining Jews, the Lord had said, this is the true rest, the way to true comfort and happiness that you shall give to the weary, and this is the true refreshing. What is? What is the true refreshing? With stammering lips and another tongue, I will speak to my people. Isn't that something that on the day of Pentecost, this came to pass? That 700 and some years before Pentecost, God had prophesied where the refreshing would come from. It would come from allowing the Spirit of God to have his rulership in your life, his lordship, his leadership in your life. That is where true freedom comes from. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberation. There is freedom from every kind of bondage in your life. Come on, somebody give me a good shout. Hallelujah. Liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is. The Spirit of the Lord will never lead you into darkness, but he'll always lead you away from it. Amen. So this prophetic promise came to fruition on the day of Pentecost, with the birthing of the church age. It was God's promise of divinely equipping his people to fulfill his divine will on this side of heaven. Amen. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. And though Israel, listen, over time had turned their love away from God and their allegiance to God, God in the depths of his mercy still remembered his covenant with Abraham and honored that covenant, to which he continues to speak in verse 16. So therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm laying in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. Did you catch that? Listen, the foundation of your life better not be found in the systems of this nation. It is not found in any political party. It's found in your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? Thank God there are saved politicians, but don't put your faith in any of that. You keep your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will be shaken from the very foundation to which your life was changed on. He goes on and says, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. That, of course, that's talking about Christ, the second person of the Godhead. He who believes or trusts in, relies on, and adheres to that stone will not be ashamed or give away or hasten away in sudden panic. See, what is going on in America today, what we're seeing in America today, is coming from the very depths of hell. It's coming from Satan himself. The Bible calls him the God of this world. If you agree with that, say amen. See, so it's not the time for the church to panic. It's not the time to think, oh my God, this nation's going to hell. No, as long as you are walking with God, as long as you are carrying the image and likeness of God, God will bless this nation in spite of them. He'll bless it because of you. Come on, give God a good shout of praise. I believe that. Come on. I believe. You got to get your mind renewed. Amen. America will have no future without the church. America's future is dependent on the church because we are the light of the world. And I said this earlier a couple weeks ago, we not only have the answer, we are the answer. Can you hear? Amen. We have it. Amen. Whoever in the future is in office, I guarantee you, whoever is in office in the future, and you send them an email or a text and say, hey, we're just praying for you that God will bless your life and lead you by his Spirit. That's far more inspiring, and more inspiring for them to hear than for them to think that you are their enemy. I just want to encourage you tonight to get your focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Can I have an amen? So this spiritual war will not be won by a political party, but by a praying party. With stammering lips and with another tongue, God will speak to his people. I'm serious about that. If there's ever something that we have lacked, even in the last 4 years, it is a church that prays. Now, it's coming alive. Last Sunday, just this past Sunday, we had 115 people in the second service, the prayer service. 115. Come on. In a prayer service. I just let you know right now, there are churches that have 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 members that don't have that kind of turnout of prayer. They don't. But God is touching your hearts to awaken you that you have something to say about the future of America. Amen. Say, America shall be saved. Say it like you mean it. America shall be saved, but not without the participation of the church. So, now, turn to Genesis, the first chapter. We'll try to get to the end of Revelation by the end of the service, by 8 o'clock. In Genesis, the first chapter, I want to read it. I'm going to read it as the Hebrew describes it. I broke down the Hebrew words, and you'll see it on the screen here. It says, now this is, of course, very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Heaven's plural in most translations, okay? And the earth was without form. Now watch this. Without form, a waste, desolate, a desert, a worthless thing, an empty place, a wilderness filled with confusion. That's what it means. That's exactly how it's written. And void, an indistinguishable ruin and darkness, misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, obscurity was upon the face of the deep. What in the world? That. So we know, if anybody knows God, that God is the giver of life, that there's no darkness in God at all, there's no death in God. Can I have an amen? Amen. There's nothing evil in God. So God, between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, something supernatural had to happen for this kind of devastation that was created from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 1:2. And I believe that Luke 10, Jesus himself reveals it to us in Luke 10. Look at here. Now the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I believe that people today are more demon-possessed probably in this last 100 years. People are demon-possessed. They have, especially, you know, the moral deprivation, all the things that are going on, that people so pursue acceptance. So we have so many people that are living immoral, corrupt lives and don't realize that. And there's a high percentage of suicides among those who live sexually perverted lives. Why? Because inside they know it's not right, but don't know how to get out of it. I want you to know Jesus will set you free from anything if you want to be free. Hallelujah. I'm serious about that. But I just want you to know the author of all that is Satan himself. Okay, so Jesus said, the 70 returned and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, I saw Satan falling like a lightning flash from heaven. Amen. Now remember, Revelation 12 says this in verse 9, that Satan, God cast Satan and all his angels out of heaven onto the earth. Don't know, cannot explain why the earth, but that's where he cast him. So you need, you know, so now you understand the origin of all that's going on in the world today. It's evil, evil, evil. I mean, when you see children being dressed up like prostitutes, little children, and they're being violated. I'm telling you right now, there's evil like we've never, ever. Now, I mean, we haven't seen. It's been going. There's been evil. There's been corruption since the beginning of time. But listen to me. Listen to me. Any nation that has known God and begins to move away from God, the evilness is magnified. Now, if you're raised in it and you're used to it, it's one thing. But, man, when you're not used to it and it starts creeping up and starts bubbling up in a nation, it makes you sick to your stomach. But that is the fruit. That is the fruit of any nation that slowly but surely begins to move away from God, which, of course, Israel was doing. Amen. So back in Genesis 1, verse 2, the first two verses, we know, we can see the evidence of Satan's presence. Misery, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, obscurity, destruction, and death. We can add sickness, disease, poverty, dissension, envy, jealousy, strife, rebellion, anger, unforgiveness, hatred, greed, sexual perversion, mental illness. That's why Jesus came into our world. So we could be delivered from such things. That we could, just stop and think about this. You know what made the religious people so mad about Jesus? It was because that he literally went and sat with sinners to let them know that God loved them. Amen. That God loved them and God had a future for them, that God would deliver them and set them free. Amen.
Amen.
That's your calling in life. Let people know how good God is.
That's right.
The only reason you know is because he's good to you every day.
Amen.
Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
So you and I are the fruits of the victory over all the power of the enemy. We display that when we walk free from all these things. Luke 10:19, Jesus continues, behold, I've given you. That's you. That's you and I. I've given you authority. That's the word exousia. It literally means legal jurisdiction and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Hallelujah. So you have been, listen, you and I have been given power over darkness. Listen, but first and foremost in our own lives. I said in our own lives. That's what, again, I said today. I was talking today, Randy and I were talking a little bit, and I said, this computer, this wonderful computer, my son put, what do you put on it? It's a filter system. And I can't even type in a 57 Chevy because there might be a woman by it, and so it didn't let me go there. Oh, it is so wonderful. Now you, now listen to me, some of you can't even relate to that because you would never had a problem maybe in that arena when you were not saved, but I did. And so the devil will always try to come back to the back door of where you were delivered from. And so I don't give him any opportunity. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? So that's maybe some things that some of you need to do. Just have a filter. So now I'm, praise God, I'm proud of my heritage. I'm Norwegian and I'm German, but I'm not bright enough to break that code or that whole deal in my computer, and I'm so grateful. So I live free. I live free. I have the peace of God in my heart in life because of those boundaries that I have set. Amen. Amen. If you agree with those boundaries, say amen. Amen. So it is important that you understand that. Why? Because that's where the enemy tries to get in. And for you, it may be somewhere else. For you, it may be greed. For you, maybe pride, whatever the situation is, everybody has to who cultivate their own heart in life. Amen. So we are born again. We have the power over every demonic stronghold, fear, oppression, whatever is trying to attack you. Jesus set you free from those things. Amen. I said amen. Amen. So Moses, go back to Genesis 1. Let me read it one more time as the Hebrew would. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was a waste, a desolation, a deserted, worthless thing, an empty place, a wilderness filled with confusion and indistinguishable ruin, misery, sorrow, destruction, death, ignorance, wickedness, obscurity was upon the face of the deep. And when I read those things, I go, yeah, I can relate to all those. Amen. I can relate to most of them. I mean, if you're ever raised in a broken home, you can relate to some of these. Maybe not to, the severity degree of some, but you can relate to. How many can relate to some of these things in your life? Absolutely. So you can see that spirit is in the world. Amen. But in Jesus' name, that spirit is not on me or in me. Can I have an amen? Amen. So Jesus, God is just describing what happens when Satan has his way in people's lives. So anyway, Moses didn't stop there. He continues to speak here in the book of Isaiah. And here's what he says. The Spirit of God moved upon the... Oh, this isn't Genesis yet. The Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And what was he waiting for? He was waiting for the spoken word of God. I'm just simply saying, of all how dark it wasn't too dark for God. Do you hear me? Of all the darkness, of all the corruption, all the greed, all the sin that was in the earth, it wasn't too dark for God. And that's what's so beautiful about the stammering lips and another tongue. The Spirit of God was present. And what was he waiting for? He was simply waiting for the spoken word of God. He was simply waiting for God to speak so he could manifest what God was speaking. It's the same in your life. God is listen, the more you talk about all the things that are going on in the world, the more frustrated you get, the more hopeless you be. Come on, everyone. That's why I had to get that stuff off me last November. I had to get that off me because the more you listen, the more fearful you become. Oh, my God, we're going to die. No, we are the ones with the authority and power, not anybody else. You are. You got the authority and power. Praise God. I mean, if God could change your life, he could change anybody's life, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or a loser. God could change anybody's life. Hallelujah. But he does need an intercessor. He's got to have somebody standing in the gap. He does. Hallelujah. So God said, let there be light. And that was it for the darkness. I mean, it split darkness right in half. I mean, it's just the darkness didn't argue. The darkness didn't stop to try to confront the light. No. God said, let there be light. And there was light. I mean, bam, it was it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The light overcame the darkness, not the other way around. It's the same in your life. Now, the Apostle John confirmed this in the gospel that he wrote, John 1:1. Now, in the beginning was the Word. Well, that's Genesis 1:1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now watch this. The same life-giving Word was in the beginning with God, Genesis 1:1. Watch this. And all things, and I just added this, both seen and unseen, all things both seen and unseen, were made by Him. By who? The spoken Word. And without Him, the spoken Word, was not anything made that was made. In Him, the spoken Word, was the life, or the Zoe life, or the life of God, the fullness of the God kind of life, the Zoe life of God, excuse me, and the life, and this Zoe life produced by the spoken Word was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, or could not extinguish it or overtake it. So I just want you to know, that's why your words are so powerful. Your words can bring depression and hopelessness, or your words can bring life. Listen, everything that you observe on TV, don't become a puppet. Don't become an instrument to continue to enhance the fears that are going on all over America. We are the church, kid, and I don't care what they do. They cannot silence the church. They'll never be able to silence the church. We're going to preach Jesus till He comes, hallelujah. Amen. I said amen. I think that's what God wants us back to. Our focus on Him. Our love for Him. Him being our first love. I believe that's what He wants. That's what He's longing for. Amen. Matthew 5, here's what Jesus said. He said, "You're the light of the world." You are. The Bible says, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." As I was observing all that's going on in America, the Holy Spirit reminded me of this. And of course, we've been reading. By the way, guys, if you want to come, it's been awesome. Every Tuesday morning, the men get together at the Pancake House around 6:15, and we have a hallelujah time together, and we're going through a book by Tony Cook. And he is writing about the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And so while I'm studying this, he reminded me of one church specifically, and it was the church at Pergamos, or Pergamum, the Amplified Translation says. Now, this was a very unique situation because seven letters were sent to seven pastors in seven churches. And six out of the seven were kind of in trouble, some more serious than others. And here in Pergamos, what was so amazing about Pergamos John wrote about it. Here it is in the Amplified. "Then to the angel messenger of the assembly church in Pergamum write, these are the words of Him who has and wields the sharp two-edged sword." Talking about Jesus. "I know where you live," Jesus says, "a place where Satan sits enthroned." You think you have a tough neighborhood. Now, I want you to just really stop and think about this. Now, well, let me finish and I'll make a comment. "Yet you are clinging to and holding fast My name." You talk about intense warfare. See, most of us have never experienced, maybe some of you have in your personal life, but most of us have never experienced the magnitude of what it means to have Satan right next door. And now I'm talking about the horrific feeling. You can feel His presence. And we told you about this story often, but I'll just really make it quick. We were just kids. I think maybe I might have been 20. Well, I think I was on the road trucking, so I was about 23 years old. And I came home, and Vicky, I always had a Friday night Bible study. We'd listen to a Kenneth Copeland teaching, and then we'd kind of go through it and enjoy this time of fellowship with all the young believers. Well, this night, one of the guys brought a friend with who was from Minneapolis, and unbeknownst to us, he said to us during this little Bible study that he belongs to the Church of Satan. Well, that makes for an exciting atmosphere for a Bible study. And so we, okay. Well, we in our young passion and immaturity, praise God, well, so we'll just cast that demon out. True story. So we had him stand. We laid our hands on him. We said, come out of him, you spirit. And I mean, he just flung his hands back and he took off running down the street. And I'm running after him. And I was pretty fast in those days, but I couldn't catch him. So I came back and in the house and we had finished our little Bible study. Vicky always, you know, she's been hospitable since the day I met her. And you couldn't go to our house without getting something to eat. And so we had some dessert, and then they left. And, of course, now remember, I'm trucking in those days, and I'm telling you the truth as I stand here at the pulpit. I'm traveling all over the nation, and so I'm gone 3 weeks to a month at a time. And so so she had three locks on the door. Why? Because we lived right by the river. One night she woke up, the police were all around her house. Here, somebody had fallen off the dam. And drowned and it floating behind our house. And, so, and all the woods were there, so it's always spooky. And so she had three locks. She had a bolt lock, she had a chain lock, and the doorknob lock. And so that night, she collected all the dishes, and of course, I helped her. And the sink is right here, the door's here, and here's the sink. So we put everything in the sink, you know, and she went through and checked all the locks, and we went to bed. And in the middle of the night, I sleep hard, you know. I'm sleeping hard. And she wakes up. And she wakes up, she just feels fear all over her. And so she gets up without waking me up. She gets up and goes across. Our house was so small. I mean, our house was really tiny. It was probably 600 square feet. I mean, it was tiny, you know. One step, you're from one bedroom to the next. And then one more step, you're in the kitchen. And two more steps, you're in the living room. And that's how small it was. So she walked across, looked at Amy. Amy was still sleeping. Now, remember, Amy's almost 50 now, and she was, at that time, 6 months old. And so she came back. When she came back, she touched me. And she touched me. Yeah, she never said a word, but every hair in my body stood on end. So I knew something was in the house. And she said, wake up, you know, and bing, I'm wide awake. And I feel this crawling, this slimy, crawling feeling all over my body. And, of course, she did, too. She said, let's get up and pray. So we got up, and I grabbed my Bible, and I said, you first. So, I mean, I just wanted to make sure, you know, that nothing was behind us. No. So we went through the house. We went through the house, and we opened the door. I don't know why we opened the door. We just opened the door, and we just walked in. We said, we command you to get out of here in Jesus' name. And man, alive, we didn't feel anything, but locked all the three locks again. Oh, excuse me. When she got up and woke me up, guess what? The curtains were shooting straight out in our bedroom. The front door was wide open. Wide open. Wind blowing through there. It was summertime. The wind blowing through there. And just, that's what scared the tar out of me. And so we got up, we commanded that spirit to leave, we shut the door, locked everything, and I mean, immediately went to sleep. I mean, just sound asleep. But God showed us that night how horrific it is to be tormented by a demon spirit. How horrific. And I just want anybody to know out there, Jesus, the name of Jesus is above every name, and he'll set you free. I'm here really well. He'll set you, and I mean this, I'm a living testimony. He'll set you free from moral corruption. He'll set you free from addiction. I mean, he set me free from smoking. He set me free from worrying. He set me free, praise God, from, every kind of corrupt thing, and I'm so grateful. It's wonderful to live in freedom. Can I have an amen? Amen. Wonderful thing. So God is faithful. Amen. So let me finish this. I know where you live, a place where Satan sits enthroned. You are clinging to and holding fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness and faithful one, who was killed or martyred in your midst, where Satan dwells. Where Satan dwells. So they're in a city where literally Satan has taken up residence. Now, when we, years ago, we went to back in 83, it's a long time ago, we went to Russia, and then back in 86, and we went through Belgium, Brussels, and they always said, they meaning the believers in that day, said that for some reason that Satan's was seated there, had chosen Brussels to be seated, and it was a city, just was just a spiritual mess, okay? But then I thought lately, because Satan walks about to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, as the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, he probably tries to take residence up in many different cities, especially if he get access to them. And I believe it's very possible he right now could be trying to position himself in Washington, D.C. Just because of the corruption and the evilness that's going on. I'm just saying, if you see things going on, I mean, don't get worried, but know where the origin of it. You understand that? Because we're not, I don't care if it's a Democrat, Republican, whatever. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Shout amen if you believe that. That's why. What you're seeing, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. The last time I read, Satan, I believe, is under our feet. Amen. Amen. Of course he rises up in people's lives. Of course. But everywhere Jesus went, the demons were subject to him. He was not subject to demons. It's the same in your life. Demons are subject to you. You're not subject to demons. So don't be afraid of them. I said, don't be afraid of them. That demon in our house that night didn't stop to argue with us. Well, we just had no idea that it came out of him, number one. And we didn't have an idea that it stayed in our house till we woke up that night and it was there. But when we cast it out, it went right away. And the reason it was so supernatural is that the moment we closed those doors, the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, just sat upon us and we went right to sleep. I didn't lay in bed like this, shaking. We went right to sleep that night. That's what God's peace will do in your life. So you need to shut off the spigot of the corruption that's being voiced on TV constantly, and just worship God and read his word. Can I have an amen? Amen. And I thought, Washington, D.C., demonic corruption and chaos. Anyway, because we're seeing it. I want to close but just by reading this, and I want you to follow along with me in 2 Corinthians. Why don't you put that up there? So, let's keep praying in the Spirit. Yeah. Amen. To that second service at 9:45 on Sunday morning and learn how to practice praying in the Spirit. Amen. And God will develop that gift in you and you'll become an effective tool for God. Come on, everyone. It's the whole body fitly joined. It has nothing to do with in the sense, oh, we need you there. To have a greater effect in prayer, we need you there. I mean, it'd be wonderful, praise God, for you to be there. You learn how to pray. You learn how to get the devil off of your life. Very important. So now I wanted to read this, because this is Paul writing to the church. And I wanted to read this to you, and then we'll pray together tonight and close. And I hope you enjoy this. It so fits today. Now, it is God himself in his mercy who has given us this wonderful work of telling his good news to others. And so we never give up. Say, I will never give up. Amen. We do not try to trick people into believing. We're not interested in fooling anyone. We never try to get anyone to believe that the Bible teaches what it doesn't. All such shameful methods we forego. We stand in the presence of God as we speak, and so we tell the truth, as all who know us will agree. Now, if the good news we preach is hidden to anyone, listen, it is hidden from the one who's on the road to eternal death. I do this a lot and asking people to raise their hands, but how many here, you work around somebody you know aren't saved? Raise your hand. But see, in time, if you just keep praying in the Holy Ghost, in time, they'll open their mouths and say, man, I just really am in a crisis. And then you can say, that's an open door. Amen. Now, Satan, who is the god of this world, evil world, has made him blind. Did I read that? Now, if the good news we preach is hidden to anyone, it is hidden from the one who is on the road to eternal death. Satan, who is the god of this world, has made him blind, unable to see the glorious light of the gospel that is shining upon him, or to understand the amazing message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is God. Amen. Amen. Again, if you would have known how glorious and how loving and how kind and how merciful and how forgiving God is, would you not have accepted him a long time ago? Amen. Absolutely. But you didn't. The God of this world blinded your mind until someone told you how good he is. Let's go on. So we don't go around preaching ourselves about ourselves, but about Christ Jesus the Lord. All we say of ourselves is that we are your slaves because of what Jesus has done for us. For God who said, here's what God said, let there be light in the darkness, has made us understand that it is the brightness of his glory that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. But this precious treasure, this light and power that now shines within us, is held in perishable containers that is in our weak bodies. And it is frustrating. Again, remember when I got saved, remember this, when I got saved, I went out and I still partied with my friends and got stoned with them. I couldn't understand why they couldn't see a change in my life. Because I knew inside, I was trying to be sincere, inside I knew that God had changed my life, but they just saw the same old Mickey that was toking up the joint beside them. I'm telling you, not smoking a joint doesn't make you better. It just makes you more lighter. Can I have an amen? I mean, a greater light. I don't know why we always think that we can, you know, we always have to try to mimic and copy, you know, the world, thinking that if we can get close to them, they'll get close to God. No, get close to God, praise God, and they'll come to you. Amen. Everyone can see that this glorious power within us must be from God, not our own. Now, here's what I wanted to read to you. Because that's once you understand, there is a price to pay to follow the Lord. And Paul was very honest and transparent. He says, now we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed and broken. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen the way they do, but we don't give up and quit. Did you catch that? Amen. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. Oh, this is so good. We get knocked down, but we get up and keep going. Oh, man, this is good. These bodies of ours are constantly facing death, just as Jesus did. So it is clear to all that it is only the living Christ within who keeps us safe. Okay, let's go on. Yes, we live under constant danger to our lives because we serve the Lord, but this gives us constant opportunities to show forth the power of Jesus Christ within our dying bodies. It's got to be extremely frustrating to Jesus when he cannot find anybody who will labor for him. And I'm not blaming nobody. I'm just simply making a statement that any nation, including America, that her spiritual condition is not determined by the sinner. It's determined by the saint. And if only 1% or less than 1% of the church ever leads anyone to the Lord, no matter the world keeps going and drifting darker and darker and darker. It's not their fault. They're only following the nature of their father, the devil. Because of our preaching, we face death, but has resulted in eternal life for you. We boldly say what we believe, trusting God to care for us, just as the psalm writer did when he said, I believe and therefore I speak the message that set me free. Amen. We know that the same God who brought the Lord Jesus back from death will also bring us back to life again with Jesus and present us to him along with you. Now, these sufferings of ours are for your benefit. And the more of you who are one to Christ, the more there are to thank him for his great kindness. Amen. And the more the Lord is glorified. That's why when a church has a passion for the things of God, and they're leading people to Christ, that church becomes the light of the community. Amen. We're not a light of the community just because we're full gospel or independent or because we love the Lord. Amen? Amen. That's why churches die. That's why a lot of churches, you know, there are churches that all they have is old people in them. Thank God we don't. Because no one has a passion to change people's lives. And yet, look at our young generation. They need to know how much God loves them. So that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our inner strength in the Lord is growing every day. These troubles and sufferings of ours, after all, quite small and won't last very long, yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessings upon us forever and ever. So we do not look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward to the joys in heaven, which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Well, let's give God praise for the word tonight. Amen. I didn't read that for any other reason to let you know that sometimes, you know, you're dealing with all the challenges of life and you say, what is going on here? Well, your life is being put to the test. Let me say it out loud. Everybody knows, everybody wants to know this at home. For someone to live,
someone has to die.
Amen. Amen. For someone to live in your neighborhood, you got to give up your, you know, your fears, right?
Yeah.
You got to give up your own life and let people know how much God loves them, because he does. He loves all of us. I want to pray for you tonight, and then we're going to receive the offering. And I want everyone at home to make sure that you send your tithes in. The Lord will continue to bless you. Listen, 2021 is going to be a great year if we believe it's going to be a great year. And we pray and stay sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I want that for every one of you. And most importantly, God does. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I just pray tonight for the word that went forth, God, that I praise you that this is the refreshing. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, praying in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, following the leadership of the Spirit. Father, thank you. Help us to be aware, God, of your presence every moment of every day in our lives. Help us, God, to remember, hallelujah, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Help us, God, to separate from the voices that are constantly 24 hours a day propagating fear, propagating hopelessness. God, I pray that you'll give each and every one strength to separate from these things so they can keep their eyes on you, Lord Jesus, for you are the author and the finisher of their faith. So, Father, I pray for those right now that may be in bondage. And just lift your hands right now to God if there's any bondages in your life. I break those bondages over them, God, in the name of Jesus. I exert my authority over those bondages, and I break them over people's lives and the congregation here and people's lives, God, that are watching, Father. And now lift up your hands and give him, everybody here, let's lift our hands and give him praise that the Holy Ghost is doing a supernatural work in everyone here and everyone online. And Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Now give God a good shout of praise. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning services at 8:30 and 10:30. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.